you take away any stress that we're holding on to, and just really show us how to glorify you and how to praise you during this time. We pray in Jesus' name. There was a man in the name of whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys. That man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God." Thus Job did continue.
Stories of what they think you're like, but Now I am found. It is wonderful to see people here today. I've known these three ladies here for a long time, especially my daughter Elizabeth, but I've known Hannah and Nina since they were young, and now all three of these ladies are seniors, or they have graduated from high school, and I'm trying to help get them to lead worship before they head off to college. We still have Ken for another year, but let's give a hand to the worship team for leading us on this first Sunday back. One of the things I learned from young people is that they like to dress more in style. Me, on the other hand, like this shirt that I'm wearing, I've had this for at least 30 years. And so it still fits, which kind of makes me feel good. But I like to buy things, like clothing-wise, that I don't have to, it's kind of like still in fashion no matter what, you know, what generation it is. I've had people buy me clothing even like a few years ago that's no longer like in style. For example, I still wear Crocs. I don't know if you know what Crocs are, but my daughter is embarrassed every time I wear them because she says nobody wears Crocs anymore, but I still like them because they're comfortable. But just like fashion kind of comes in and out, so does parenting. If you ever notice that, how the world teaches about principles of parenting. For example, look with me on this Coca-Cola ad. This was probably in the 1960s or so, but here you probably can't see, but let me just read it. For a better start in life, start Coca-Cola earlier. And then it says, how soon is too soon? Not soon enough. Laboratory tests over the last few years have proven that babies who start drinking soda during those early formative periods have a much higher chance of gaining acceptance, fitting in during those awkward preteen and teen years. So do yourself a favor. Do your child a favor. Start them on a strict regimen of sodas and other sugary carbonated beverages right now for a lifetime of guaranteed happiness. And so this is kind of a funny thing. Obviously today, this is really bad advice. Actually, I heard in most schools, they don't even allow soda. Is that true? So those of you who work in schools, they don't even allow sugary drinks. But this was actually a Coca-Cola ad back in the 1950s talking about parenting. Well, parenting, though, from God's word doesn't change. It doesn't change over time. Listen with me, or look as we have this displayed in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here, this was written 1400 BC. So this was written over 3 millennia ago. And this is what Moses says, what God says to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. He says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." This is what God wrote 3,500 years ago. And this is true back then and it is still true today. First of all, this tells us, this is a command. It commands parents, if you want to be a good parent, first and foremost, you need to obey and love God yourself. If we truly wish our children to one day love and follow God, we as parents need to set that example. That's what he's saying here. Also, second thing that we learn from this passage that Deuteronomy makes very crystal clear is that the duty for teaching children about God is not church, it's not the school, it's not their friends, it's not their youth group. The primary teacher for who is to teach our children about the Bible and about the things of God, our parents. Yes, it's important to go to church. It's important for our kids to go to youth group. It's important for kids to go to Sunday school. Yes, those are all important things, but those are supplements. Those are secondary things to the parents. Parents are the kids' biggest role models, whether we know it or not. And the world's parenting methods change over time, but God's word doesn't change. Today, I'm very happy as we have our first Sunday back, kind of having a reopening, a grand reopening of TEF after 74 long weeks of not being open. We're gonna start off by having a baby dedication, and we're gonna have our youth pastor, Pastor Austin, his wife Jolie, and they're gonna be dedicating their daughter Allie today. So let's welcome them as they come up and share about their story.
Yeah, so we were asked to share a little bit about Allison. Just to let you know, her birthday was April 27, 2020, so during COVID. So maybe some of you guys have not had a chance to meet her yet, but just to give you a little background, Jolie and I, our lives are dedicated to doing full-time ministry, to really loving God. And so our prayer really was for a baby that will be healthy, will love the Lord, will be someone that just loves a lot of people too as well. And I feel like she's answered all those things. If you get a chance to meet Allison, she's super, super, I think, emotionally and mentally aware, and it exceeds her physical abilities. So she's trying to talk to you. She's trying to wave to you. And she's definitely a church baby. I think during the time of COVID, we've had a ton of our youth kids over. And so a lot of them are her big sisters and big brothers. And so she's super used to saying hi to people. I don't think she has stage fright necessarily, but she's just been a big blessing. I really feel like she has a lot of compassion, a lot of mercy to a lot of people too as well. And we've seen her, like, if someone's crying among us or sitting with us or talking about God, she knows that something's happening there. And even she can, like, we say, like, want to pray? She can do it. She's not gonna do it right now, but like she understands when we're praying too as well, and she'll put her hands together and pray with us, and she can say amen and Jesus when she has to too as well. So she's been a huge blessing, and we really wanted to dedicate her in front of you guys a lot earlier, but this is the earliest we possibly can have it, so we're very thankful for that too. Okay.
Yeah, so we really just want to thank you for being here to be a witness of Allie's dedication. Here are some prayer requests that we have. One is for Allie to grow in grace, in beauty, but also more importantly, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We really want her to know God very intimately and to grow to be like Christ more and more. And we also would like to pray for the unity of our marriage to be centered on Christ. Despite circumstances and our emotions, to learn to forgive, to be open, and to love each other as Christ does. And lastly, we would like our family to be utilized by God to glorify Him in all that we do and say. And let us be a light to others and a witness to God's grace, His faithfulness and goodness. And we chose a verse for Allie's dedication. It's Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do."
Amen. I love Ephesians 2, 8-9, talking about by grace you've been saved through faith, but yet verse 10 talks about we were created and saved for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we were saved for them. So that's a wonderful verse for Allie. Now we're going to go into the vow time, and as I read these vows, you know, this whole ceremony, we call it a baby dedication, but it's actually a parent dedication. Allie's not going to remember this. And so this is more for you as parents. And so as I read these vows, if you affirm this vow, you can respond by saying, "We do." As Christian parents, do you, Austin and Jolie, dedicate Allie to the Lord, and do you promise to pray for her that she may grow to know and love the Lord? You also dedicate your home for the purpose of providing a happy, secure, and godly environment for Allie to grow in? You also dedicate yourselves to the Lord so that you may set a good example for Allie to follow. I'd like to have the congregation stand right now. As a congregation, we have witnessed the covenant and commitment of Austin and Jolie to their daughter Allie before the Lord. Do we, as a church family, promise to support and encourage them to fulfill their vow? We do. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this wonderful gift, children. And we thank you for Allie and how you have blessed Austin and Jolie with a wonderful daughter. And Father, we know that she will come to know the Lord as Austin and Jolie live what it means to know and to love the Lord. And so, Father, we commit her into your hands, and may Austin and Jolie continue to utilize their home and their gifting to serve and to minister to others, to minister to their daughter, and to be able to share the good news and the gospel with others. So, Father, may Allie also one day come to not only know the Lord, but also serve him faithfully. So we thank you, and we commit her into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. I would like to give a gift to Austin and Jolie before you leave. And also, this is a letter for Allie. She's too young to understand it, but maybe when she's old enough, maybe on her 10th birthday, you can read this to her. It's a letter that I wrote to her of what you guys did here. So there you go. Hey, just give me a hand. Thank you, guys. Well, for those of you who are joining us on Zoom, glad you're able to join us on Zoom. I know it's going to be hard to get used to. I've been watching, doing church on my couch in my PJs for the past 74 weeks. So in honor of our grand reopening, I actually dressed up. I'm not wearing my PJs, but it is good to be here and to be able to share God's word in person. It's been very bizarre to preach these sermons on in front of a camera with only like two people, you know, watching as they're filming. And so it's good to be live with everybody here. I know it's going to be hard to get used to. This is even though maybe some of you have been going to church for a long time, but for the past 74 weeks, you've been kind of sitting at home. But now it's going to be a new normal to get back. And I understand it's going to take some time. I do enjoy just sitting on my couch in my PJs doing church. But I think God is calling us to be together. It's not just about getting information in, but the importance of actually being physically together. And there's something very special about being physically together. Today is a very special day. It's Father's Day. And I wanted to share this message. But I wanted to start off by saying this, by sharing that I've been in Shanghai for 14 years, my family and I. Over the past 14 years, especially in ministry, I've had to meet with various officials over the years. And officials in China change quite often. But I would say, like, I've gotten to know, and so far, I've actually had a very good relationship with the various officials that I've had to meet with. What is interesting is that this past year and a half, I've had to meet more frequently with them. And it's always interesting, you're sitting in a room, they invite you over, or they come here, and we're sitting in the conference room and talking. Usually there's like 2 to 5 people that come, and they want to talk with me about, you know, obey the laws of China and so forth, and so I just listen. But then every so often, there will be somebody, the big boss comes in. And when the big boss comes in, and this person changes, I mean, this person's always different, you know, because again, these guys change quite a bit in their positions. But you always know when the big boss comes in because everybody just gets quiet and everybody kind of stands up. So like, I don't know who this person is, but everybody stands up. And so I know, okay, here's the big boss. So I stand up and shake his hand and so forth. And I don't know who he is, but I know his position is very important because everybody just kind of be quiet and just listens to him. And usually he speaks for like 5 to 10 minutes. Usually it's something, usually it's something positive. Starts off by being positive. Like, Jason, I know you're with TEF and you guys do good work, but you need to obey the laws of China, and so I listen to them and so forth. But I was wondering, have you ever met a guy, a man, who's kind of, his presence kind of filled the room? That when he came in, people knew who he was. And it wasn't because of a title. It wasn't because of a position that he had in his work, but because of his inner character. Have you ever met a person like that? Well, I met a guy like that a few years ago. He was a landowner. He was a community leader, well-respected in the community, but his greatest interest was his family. In spite of his busy schedule, he always had time for his family. And the foundation of this guy, his foundation was faith in God. So this man had everything. He had wealth. He had honor, he had family, and he had faith. This person is Job. This person is Job. And I wanted to take a look at this man's, this first chapter of the book of Job. Take a look at, what does it mean to be a godly father? So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, we look at this man who is a family man, a wealthy man, a man of faith. And in Job chapter 1, we learn this, that first of all, from Job, from this first chapter of Job, we learn that a godly father, the strength of a godly father is first and foremost his character. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Here we see that he is a man of character. First of all, we see that he is a man that is blameless. He is blameless. It literally means that he was a person of integrity. This means that his private life was the same as his public life. He didn't have two different ways of living. His private life was the same as his public life. He was a person who was blameless. Also, we see the word upright. This word upright means honest. In other words, a person with integrity, a person of character, is a person who keeps his word, keeps his or her word. When they say they're going to do something, they do it. This is what the word upright means. The other word that we see here is that he was a fearing God. In other words, he stood in the awe of God's holiness. He was a true worshiper. He wasn't just somebody that just worshiped God on Sundays, but his life demonstrated that. He was a true worshiper, a true follower of God. And then the last one, which is very practical and very evident of his character, was he turned away from evil. He deliberately turned away from sin. He wouldn't do anything that would compromise his character. As men of God, God has called us to be men of character, to live every aspect of our lives as examples to be followed. He practices what he preaches. I like this. Somebody told me this. A person of character practices what he preaches. He lives before he lays down the law. He demonstrates before he demands. He practices what he preaches. He lives before he lays down the law, and he demonstrates before he demands. What's very interesting is, and this is very true, but statistically, even statistics out there, secular statistics tell us that the character traits that our children learn, 75% of the character traits that children learn under the age of 18 are learned by their parents' behavior, by their parents' behavior. Now, it's very interesting that this statistic specifically highlights parents' behavior, not by what parents say, not by what we nag, not from what we lecture our children, not from what our children hear from school or even from their friends, which is surprising to me, but it's true. 75% of our children's character traits are learned from what their parents do or what they don't do. Very interesting. And fathers, I'd like to state that, you know, we are the most tangible real-life examples of God to our children. When we teach our children to pray, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, how did he teach them? What did he say? He said, well, this is how you are to pray. Our Father, what? Who art in heaven. So we teach them that God is our heavenly Father. What that translates to children is that God is like my father. God is like my dad. That's what it translates to children. So what that means is that dads, when we are overly critical, when we are overly angry, when we're grumpy, and when we're demanding, we portray to our children that God is an angry ruler who's ready to pour out his wrath on his children who get out of line. That's what we're communicating about God. Dads, when we are busy with ourselves and we fail to spend that time with our children, with our family, we project to our children a God who is just too busy and pays very little attention and doesn't really care about them. When we, dads, men, when we fail to confess our wrong to our wives and to our children, God is viewed as a God who has no heart, no sympathy. Or dads, when we live inconsistently, in other words, we're teaching one thing with our mouths, but living another way, our children view God as just inconsistent, just really not trustworthy. We need to ask ourselves, what are we communicating to our children about God? What kind of picture are they getting of God that we're projecting in our lives as fathers? As men of God, we are called to be men of character. We need to be examples for them to follow. So first of all, a godly father is a person of character. Secondly, he's a man of correct priorities. He's a man of correct priorities. Very, very interesting in this passage that Job was a very wealthy man. He had a lot of possessions, but at the same time, he wasn't possessed by his possessions. He wasn't possessed by his possessions. Although he had a lot of material wealth and he worked hard for it, his family came before his business, and he had a very large family. Look with me in verse 2-4. It says here, 7 sons, 3 daughters, that's 10 children, were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a lot of servants, and this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. They would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Let's stop right there. So first of all, how does a godly man, how does a person live out his priorities? Let me give you some examples, a gentleman, from this passage. First of all, Job took time to spend with his family. Job took regular time to spend with his family. It says in verse 4 that his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. On his day is talking about his birthday. How many children did Job have? 10. So calculating 12 months out of the year, probably at least once a month, he would be doing at least a birthday celebration. They would celebrate each of their birthdays. I mean, this is amazing. When you think about priorities, usually it's easy to do like celebrating, you know, your children's birthday, especially when they're young. It's fun. You know, you do birthday parties, but usually when they grow. But here's a person who celebrated their, you know, each of his adult children, their birthdays. He took time to spend with his family. And time is the most valuable asset that we can give to our families. It's really hard. It is very difficult to make more money. It's very difficult to make more money. It's difficult to get a raise. I understand that. But it's possible. It's possible to make more money. But it is impossible to make more time. That's impossible to do. We're all given 24 hours. Time is much more valuable than money. When I think about times and memories of my dad, who passed away over 2 years ago, I don't remember really anything that he bought me. I do remember some things that he bought me, but not most of the things that he bought me. But I remember the times that we spent fishing. I remember the times that we spent crabbing or going on vacation. I remember those times very fondly. And at his funeral, my sisters and I, we didn't share anything about money or the gifts that he gave us. We didn't say anything. We shared about just the fond memories that we had of our time with our father. And I think about even my own daughter, and I think about like, man, I hope she gets this sermon, or I hope she, but the fact of the matter is she's not going to remember this sermon. I'm not going to even remember this sermon. I'm going to forget this sermon. That's why I need to go to church every week, by the way. So people say, oh, I remember when you preached that sermon a few weeks ago. I don't remember that sermon. So I'm not expecting you to remember that sermon. I'm not expecting my daughter to remember that sermon. That's why we need to go to church every week. But I want my daughter to remember just our time together, to make those memories together. So spent time is the most valuable asset that we as men can give to our children. Secondly, Job, another way to prioritize time is Job spent time in prayer for his family continually. Look with me in verse 5. Listen to this prayer. When the days of the feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, this is what he prays. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So here Job is spending time early in the morning praying for his children. Now look at what he's praying. So of course he's probably praying, God watch over them. God provide for them. Yes, God, you know, protect them. I'm sure he's praying for that. But look at what, not only does he pray for that, but he also prays for things that might might happen, the bad things that might happen. He's a true leader in this family because he's looking forward to this. You know, he's praying and thinking, you know, my kids, they seem to be doing fine, but maybe something is wrong in their hearts. Maybe there's something that everybody is seeing on the outside, but maybe, you know, God, you see what's in their hearts. Maybe they're living in some secret sin. Maybe one of them is kind of right on the edge of their spiritual life. Maybe one of them is going through a struggle that nobody knows about, but you know, God. And this is what he's praying for. Not the things that he knows, but the things that he doesn't know. And all of his children are grown up. They've all left the house. He's an empty nester at this time. You know, it's very interesting that we pray so hard for our children. I'm so moved by Pastor Austin and Jolie as they're this prayer request for Allie. And I remember praying like that when my daughter was young. But how much more important it is that we pray for our adult children. When they leave the house, you know, we have very little impact. We have very little, you know, in terms of day-to-day, seeing them. So we are even more in the dark about what's going on in our adult children's life. So how much more we need to be praying for them, not only when they're young, but especially when they're grown up. Job provided for his family, and this goes far beyond material goods. He spent time with them. He prayed for them regularly. And this is the last point I want to hit on, and that is a godly father is not only a person that is a man of character, that's the first C, not only a man of correct priorities, that's the second C, but also he's a man of continuity. And I know this might sound, I was trying to think of a C word, but it's actually what I'm talking about is endurance. And we see this in verses 6 through 22. And this is what you know about Job. When you hear the story of Job, you typically don't hear the first part, but this is the second part that you typically hear about that he's famous for, because in this, the rest of the book of Job, in a series of life-blasting catastrophes, Job loses his business. He loses all of his money. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his health. And all 10 of his children die. And to top it all off, at the peak of his agony, his wife is mocking him and lashes out at him, and his friends accuse him. But here's the question before Job. Will he remain a real man? Will he endure? Will he continue? And that is the question before every man. When things around you are taken away, all the comfortable things are taken away, what will you do? Well, Job proved his manhood. Look with me in verse 21 of Job 1. Verse 21, Job responds by saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Shining out of his life through these difficult times and loss is what I believe. This is what I believe. This is man, all you men out there, this is our greatest strength. Our greatest strength is not about how much work we do, not how much money we do. Our greatest strength is endurance, is perseverance. It is what a friend of mine called staying power, continuity. There's a sense of permanence with Job. One of the greatest strengths is his staying power. And this is what Job says in Job 13, verse 15. Job says, "Though he slay me, I will put my trust in him." This endurance, this staying power is not just, gentlemen, it's not just with the big things. It's also with the little things. It's also with the small things. I'd like to address the single ladies out there. Those of you who are, those ladies who are not married yet. Single ladies, I'd like you to give this warning to you. Be careful of the guy who cannot keep his promises. Be careful of the guy that cannot keep his promises. I'm not talking about a guy who makes promises. Anybody can make a promise. But keeping his promise is something different. He says that he will commit you, but that, does he show it in the little things? He says that, oh, he's committed to you, but did he just show it in the little things in life? Endurance is not about doing great deeds. Endurance is about doing little deeds greatly. The bottom line, gentlemen, is sticking to our commitments. When marriage isn't fun, stay at it. When parenting is difficult, stay at it. When work is overwhelming, stay at it. When school is difficult, for you younger guys, keep studying. When the church is overwhelmed with pettiness, stay at it. Another fond memory I have of my father, he was a pastor, and one of the things that we would do in the spring was have a church picnic. And when my father, when I was really young, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years old, my father and I would always run in the in a race. They would have all the boys and their and men line up, and we would race. And my dad was always faster than me, especially when I was young. And I remember one time when, also as a little kid, just wanted to let you know, I always wanted to try to beat my dad, but I could never beat my dad, you know, because he was always bigger and stronger than me. But if you ever saw a picture of my dad, he was actually shorter than me now. I'm the tallest in my family. But when you're 5 or 6 years old, you know, your father's a giant. And we would run in the race. And I remember one year where we were running, and my dad just kind of pulled away, and I was running as fast as I could. And I remember my dad kind of reaching behind him, grabbing my hand, and he said, "Jason, take a hold of my hand." And I remember he would take my hand and he would pull me, and like he'd pull me so far and so fast, my feet were off the ground and I was running like this, you know, and I was like fly. It felt like I was flying, and he would just kind of fling me across the finish line. And I remember, like, when he took a hold of my hand, my speed doubled. When my father held onto my hand, when he grabbed my hand, when he took hold of my hand, my speed doubled. Take hold, dads. Hold on to your integrity. Hold on to your character. Hold on to the right priorities. Hold on in the face of storms and difficulties, and watch your children's speed double. And fathers, while you're at it, as you're holding your children's hand in one of your hands, with your other hand, hold on to your Heavenly Father's hand. And when you do that, watch your speed double. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Father's Day. And I thank you for all the fathers out there, not only the biological fathers, but also the spiritual fathers. There's so many spiritual fathers in here who have taken a lot of young people under their wing. And we thank you for men like that that are examples to all of us. And there are many fathers. I have one biological father, but there's so many spiritual fathers in my life. And I thank you so very much for each and every one of them. But Father, whether we're a dad or not, as men, you've called us to be men of character. You've called us to be men of correct priorities and men that endure, persevere. So Father, thank you that you are our Heavenly Father and that you are God that of character. You are a God of correct priorities, and you, God, are a God that continues to endure. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let's rise for the closing song.
Could you all please rise for the closing song?
Pull me out upon the waters, the great. ocean in steam, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. The ocean dry, my soul will rest to your name.
Before you sit down, why don't you introduce yourself to somebody and welcome them back to TEF? Just turn to your neighbor or somebody that you don't know and just welcome them back. You guys can be seated. I do have a couple of announcements. If you have your bulletins, you can look at these announcements here. First of all, we're going to be going to Chongqing on July 10th. I'm sorry, Chongming, not Chongqing. No. Chongming, very big difference. Chongming, if you don't know, it's actually like an island right off of Shanghai. I think it's still technically Shanghai. And we're going to be just wanted to let you show, these are some of the crafts that we're going to be doing, these Chongming type of crafts. iPhone covers, cell phone covers, bookmarks. That last picture is it's some kind of herb that repels mosquitoes. And so if you're interested in going, this is going to cost 100 RMB, but that includes the bus, that includes the craft, includes sightseeing, and it includes lunch. So that's a very good deal. So, but space is extremely limited, so you need to scan this QR code and sign up everybody probably by today, if there's even space available for that. But that's going to be on July 10th. Also, as we open up our church, we're going to need people to help serve, especially in ushering. There's a lot of different protocols, and I really want to thank Joanna for leading this ministry, and we need more people to help serve because there's so many different things that we need to do to get you in here, and we still have people that are going to be coming in the coming weeks. So please scan that QR code, get in contact with Joanna, and she will train you and show you how you can serve in this ministry. Also, as we have our three lovely ladies who are seniors, they're only going to be serving on this worship team for a few more, a couple of more months before they head off to university. We also need to groom or need to train more worship leaders. So if you're interested in helping out in music ministry, you can scan this QR code and talk to Joe Lee, who's in charge of our worship ministry, about getting involved with that. Also, those of you who are interested in being Stephen ministers, we do have a training this fall. In order to participate in that training to be a Stephen minister, and Stephen ministers are caregivers who go through this 50 hours of training on how to care for those that are hurting, those that are going through difficult times. If you're interested in training to be a Stephen minister, you can come and pick up an application, and Julie's going to be right over here. Julie will come and stand over here at the end of service, and you can pick up an application if you're interested in applying. Also, we have also name tags. Those of you who have a name tag, you need to bring this every week. And so don't be like me. I forgot mine, so I had to get another one. So don't be like me. Don't follow my example. But please bring this. Save the environment. Let's not waste any more whatever this stuff is made out of. But yeah, you need to bring this every week. And also, lastly, before we close our service, I promised this to you, that since this is Father's Day, we have a Father's Day gift. And I think that this is one of the coolest Father's Day gift we've ever had. So if you are a father, please stand, and we're going to have the ushers come and give you a gift. Once you receive it, you can sit back down. Let's give a hand to all the fathers out there. And then once you receive this gift, and I have this in my office, I would recommend that you bring it to your office. It's a very, very sturdy mobile phone stand. And yeah, so once you receive it, you can sit back down. I'll get it later. So do all the fathers get one? If you have one, you can sit back down. And since we're done with, why don't we all stand back up as we close our service? Father, thank you just so very much for this just wonderful service to be able to have our opening up again. And Father, as we open, as more people come, we just pray that first and foremost, that this worship service, people would feel loved. And that, Father, they would know that we are able to love each other because you're the one that first loved us. So, Father, thank you also especially for all the dads out there, and also praying for those that are missing their dads this year. So, Father, thank you not to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Have a great week.